The House will come to order. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Flickery. Flickery. Bonner.
Here.
Botten.
Here.
Brechtel.
Here.
Brown. Brown. Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy. Kennedy. Childers.
Here.
Connolly. Kraft, Davison, Edmonds, Eklund, Esquivel, Freeman, Gay, Gingery, Gingery, Goggles excused, Greer, Green, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Hunt, Illaway, Yagi, Kasparic, Croker, Crone, Lockhart, Lockhart, Laux, Lubno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Patton, Peasley, Peasley, Pedersen, Peterson, Petroff, Korberg, Roscoe, Simlick, Shepperson, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Throne, Vronish, Wallace, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker.
Here.
Blickery.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Gingery.
Here.
Lockhart.
Excused.
Lockhart excused. Peasley.
Here.
58 present, 2 excused.
Please join me in the prayer for the day with the Reverend Bob Girard.
Let us pray. We rejoice in the new day you have gifted to us, Lord. May the excitement and energy with which we began the week be restored to us where it has begun to wane. Refresh our minds with your insights and our hearts with your grace. Prepare these servants of the people of you and of the state for whatever comes their way that is new and for dealing with the unresolved leftover issues from yesterday or the day before. Focus again their minds and hearts on what is necessary in your eyes for the welfare of the people of this state. Remind them you are walking beside them and at times carrying them when the load gets too heavy. Grant them many reasons to laugh when things get too serious. Renew in them a sense of working together and the appreciation for the variety of viewpoints expressed by their colleagues. Where there is frustration on the pace of the legislation, remind us all that it was not until the fourth day you created the sun and the moon, and we are only on the third workday of this week. Thank you for listening again, Lord. Help us to hear and see your answers to our prayers in this new day. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance.
We are at that order of business. Journal Committee Report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of January 25th, 2011 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Kasparic, Representative Freeman.
And our nurse of the day is Connie Jacobson from Casper, Wyoming. There she is in the back. Please welcome her. Thank you for being here today. We're at that order of business, introduction, reading, and reference of bills. First bill for our consideration is House Bill 221.
House Bill 221, introduced by Representative Roscoe.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to taxation and revenue regarding electricity production.
House Bill 221 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 207.
House Bill 207, introduced by Representative Crone.
First reading the bill.
An act relating to employment protection of activities in private vehicles.
House Bill 207 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. We are now at that order of business. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 32, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Berger, Edmonds, Esquivel, Harshman, Pedersen, Stewart, Wallace, signed representing Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 37, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Edmonds, Esquivel, Harshman, Pedersen, Stewart, Wallace, signed representing Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 61, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Edmonds, Esquivel, Harshman, Pedersen, Stewart, Wallace, signed representing Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 127, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Edmonds, Esquivel, Harshman, Pedersen, Stewart, Wallace, signed representing Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Joint Resolution 6, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Bonner, Botten, Davison, Yeagie, McKim, McComey, Petroff, Shepperson, No, Connolly, signed Representative McComey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 154, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Bonner, Botten, Kennedy, McKim, Korberg, Vronish, Swanitzer, Dave, No, Peterson, signed representing Korberg, Chairman.
We're at that order of business, bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 41.
House Bill 41, introduced by Representative Gingrey, an act relating to motor vehicles regarding driving in a single lane.
House Bill 41 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 50.
House Bill 50, introduced by the Labor Committee, an act relating to administration of government health insurance exchanges.
House Bill 50 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 137.
House Bill 137, introduced by Representative Shepperson, an act relating to real property, private transfer fee obligations.
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1. Just to remind you, we started to have this conversation yesterday. I thought about dividing the amendment, and then the good gentleman from Casper got up and explained what the purpose of that particular amendment was, and I understood what he was saying, and it actually made some sense to me. There has been some concerns if you just look on the page, what they do on page two is they say, tell you what a private transfer is, and then throughout the next few pages, it gives you some of the exceptions to it. One of those exceptions was when it was going toward a charitable or environmental type organization. That came out yesterday, so that will no longer be an exception. I understood what they were saying there, that some groups such as that have used that as a tool, perhaps in an inappropriate way. But I wanted to make sure that we still didn't cut it off for counties to use it, counties and municipalities and ISDs, Improvement and Service Districts. So that's what this amendment does, is say that, yeah, private transfer fees are prohibited. However, counties can still work that out with the developer. And just to explain this a little bit further, in my community, we have multiple large developments that come in at both of our major ski areas. Just in the last two or three years, we approved at the main one there where there's a big red box that takes you to the top of the hill. That one, they just added a large development that has 300 homes, so it's a pretty large development. However, their impacts were going to be substantial on county roads and county transportation needs. So the developer agreed to put a 1% transfer fee. Every time that property is sold, 1% goes toward the county to pay for, and there's a nexus there, for transportation needs, which is our bus service. There's another ski area, which actually you go on the other side of the Tetons to get to, and that one just got a major approval. And that probably would not have been approved if that transfer fee had not been present. And that transfer fee, again, it's a 1%, and it goes toward providing for impacts that that development places on that side of the mountains. So it's not, it wouldn't be imposed. You know, there, I saw some of the emails that said this is a backdoor way in of getting a real estate transfer fee, a tax. The distinction is that a tax would be applied to every home in the county. This only is applicable to that particular development. And again, that particular development is having an impact of some sort on the services being provided. There has to be some type of means to collect some money to provide for those impacts. If we don't have this tool, especially in my community, I think what the effect will be is that we just will be unable to approve many of these developments, or the developer himself is going to have to come up with the funds to, you know, rebuild county roads themselves without county involvement, because we just can't afford unless you raise taxes. So it's sort of a choice here. Do you raise taxes, or do you put a fee onto the actual individual that is making the impact? Why should I have to pay, even though I don't live in that neighborhood, I have nothing to do with that neighborhood, why should I have to pay for their impacts? Why should they not pay for their own impacts that they are causing? So this would just allow for counties and towns and improvement and service districts to impose, well, they wouldn't actually impose. What they do is, through the development process, the developer agrees to place the transfer fee on the property. So it's still a private transfer fee, but then the money is given to the county to pay for those impacts.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm rising on and against the amendment. Let's call it what it is. It is a tax. But before we get to that issue, there is one other thing I want to make clear that I'm not sure was made clear in the debate yesterday. We had testimony from realtors, bankers, and people who concern themselves with title insurance. And FHA, HUD, some other groups are now making it so they will not give loans on properties that have private transfer fees attached to them. And it was their testimony that in the future it is very likely that no banks will ever loan money on any property with private transfer fees on it, because it greatly complicates the issue of title insurance. So by putting these on there, it is putting a hindrance on private property. It has the potential to make it completely unsellable in the future, except to somebody who is willing to pay cash and not have title insurance on it. I don't think that's a burden we want to put going forward. And then as far as the issue of it not being a tax, I guess I've only been here 12 days, so maybe I don't know how to think like a politician enough to understand how this is not a tax. I look at it in the concept of what if we were to impose a private transfer fee on retail goods and services of 1%. So then when our citizens go to the store, they pay 4% sales tax and 1% private transfer fee. And I would have to explain to them, oh, no, you're just not smart enough to understand. This is not a tax. This is simply a private transfer fee on goods or services that's paid to the government, not a tax. I guess I'm not smart enough to understand that distinction of how this is a tax. If it's something that your community needs to have, there are tax ways that you can do it. Yes, it is taxes. But that's a discussion we should have for another point. We shouldn't sneak in a backdoor tax that you can impose on a certain group of people and try to deceive them and tell them it's not a tax. And I guess my mindset is when I go home, I've got a 5-year-old son, and I'm trying to explain to him how the government works. And I guess the way I would have to explain this to him is we had something pointed out to us that we as a body decided was so diabolical, to use a word from yesterday, and I guess I'd get to teach my son a new word, diabolical, in the conversation too, that it was so diabolical that we had to put an outlaw to the practice. But then you know what? We thought about it some. And the next day we decided that practice was so diabolical that we needed to grant that power to the government so that they could impose that upon its citizens. Please vote no for the amendment and yes on the bill.
Representative Ranish.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just realized these lights are really bright up here. So I'm speaking against amendment. It just somehow it seems like it's okay to tax the rich, and it's what it is a tax. If they want to have a tax, they should call it a tax. And it seems to me that it compounds the problems that they're already having in this town that has 7 letters. And the price of property, the normal person can't afford. And all this does is this further escalates the price of property, even though it's supposedly only on the rich. And I would urge you to vote no on the amendment and yes on the bill. Thank you.
Representative Blickery.
Mr. Chairman, fellow representatives, the thing about this that disturbs me is it's just not transparent. And if we're going to have taxes, they should be transparent on and against the amendment.
Chairman Illoway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, on and against the amendment. We have done some things for this particular area in the past, and it appears that we're trying to make this for this one particular area only. I'm not sure that these type of developments are happening throughout the state where a fee is needed. I would agree that the fee appears to me to be a tax. It would also appear to me that if the county needs this much money, and as I said, we did this thing several years ago in that particular area, then they need to work with the developer. It shouldn't be something that affects the entire state, and this looks to me like a one-county problem. And I guess my other question is, and the good representative will answer it, but if you put it on, how long does it stay on? In other words, if I go buy one of those 300, which I can't, but one of those 300 homes up there, is it going to stay on in perpetuity so that if I would sell it and then somebody would buy it and so forth, is it going to stay on there? Just not the right thing to do for the state, on and against.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a question, I guess, both for the sponsor of the amendment and opponents. In looking at page 4, section F, which is also an exclusion of the private transfer fee, it excludes from that definition any tax, fee, charge, assessment, fine, or other amount payable or imposed by a governmental authority. And I'm wondering, A, why we need the amendment, and B, if we're not going to accept taxes from that definition, do we need to take that out as well?
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, my word's been stolen, so today I'll call this catastrophic, I guess. Mr. Speaker, number one, with respect to developers on subdivisions, what this really is a cost-shifting mechanism, and it shifts some of the, and we've had plenty of that in this body over time, where somewhere or another, a developer shifts the cost. The most typical one we've struggled with for years is he simply puts an incomplete development in and takes the money and leaves the county commissioners with all the garbage that's left, the details, like the roads, the water, the sewer, the garbage, and all the arguments that go with it. This is just another shifting mechanism that would be available to developers to lower their cost and shift it on to someone else so that they take their money and leave. It bears no relationship that I can see to the impact because it's a perpetual fee, and it doesn't stop when the impact stops. It just continues. Lots of means already exist for raising fees. There are front-end fees. There are continuing fees. There are taxes, assessments. They go on. They go off. The developer pays them up front. There are a lot of ways to solve this problem besides this kind of a fee. And as a matter of fact, a developer, and I've seen it done, a developer can even, at the inception of his development, him as the only property owner, petition and put it into a special district. And when he puts it into a special district, there he then creates a mechanism for the collection of fees to mitigate the impacts. But there's some accountability and there's some control over it. It's still a threat on the alienation of property. I don't think there's any way you can get away from that. And the last thing that really troubles me is the accountability. And it was posited to me yesterday, and I thought it was really interesting. How long is it going to be before all of our governmental entities have the incentive to, as a condition for approving these things, require developers to put these on because it's a perpetual source of money for the governmental entity? How long is it going to take them to figure that out and say, here's a new perpetual source of money that there's no accountability for, there's no way to terminate it, and we just get the money? And where does that stop? And I could see a whole industry springing up here, spawned by government, in the interest of creating a new revenue stream that there's no control over. So for all those reasons, Mr. Speaker, I want to get this right. I make this mistake all the time. I'm against the amendment and for the bill.
Anyone else for their first time? For their first time? For their second time? Representative Gingrey? Representative Blickery?
Mr. Chairman, fellow representatives, the representative from the center of the state asked about on page 4, line 14, 15, 16, any tax, fee, charge, assessment, fine. What this is about is private transfer fees. I would assume that the way it's written, that if a county government wanted to try to pass a tax that was a transfer fee tax to future generations, that they could transparently run that by all the people of their community and see if they could get away with it.
Anyone else for their second time? No one else for their second time. So the question is on all those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 137, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Second reading amendment number one to House Bill 137 has failed. House Bill 137 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 138.
House Bill 138, introduced by Representative Madden, an act relating to public funds, deposit open accounts, interest rate.
House Bill 138, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution Number 5.
House Joint Resolution Number 5, introduced by Representative Petroff, a resolution proposing to change the Wyoming Constitution regarding county and city consolidation.
Representative Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move Amendment Number 1 to House Joint Resolution 5. Second reading Amendment Number 1 to House Joint Resolution Number 5. And on page 1, line 6, it would read, for all other purposes, comma, requiring a vote and providing for continuance of debts and obligations. And I'll explain that later. Page 2, line 15, it would add, a procedure and laws governing the unification of counties with municipalities, and that was to address the concern about counties being able to merge with one another. Page 2, line 21, after municipalities would read, and a requirement that any existing debt or obligation of the municipalities and counties involved in a unification shall become a debt or obligation of the unified government. And this, again, was addressing a concern that was brought up about how the debt would be dealt with if the two entities merged. Page 3, line 7, would also be inserting, and the debts and obligations of the unifying governments will become debts and obligations of the unified government, again addressing the same concern. The one issue that we did not address was how the majority of the electorate would vote on that. We felt that that was better addressed in the statutes. The intention would be that it would be the majority of the county as well as the majority of the municipalities.
Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This appears to be a pretty good amendment. As was indicated on Committee of the Whole with this particular piece of legislation, the Corporations Committee has struggled for a number of years how to make a consolidation of city and county governments work. This appears to be a good first step. I would urge your adoption, and, of course, this is a constitutional amendment, so tomorrow we'll have to have a two-thirds. But it appears to be good. It appears to be workable. I'd like to urge your approval.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the committee, we did bring this up and discussed it. And going back a few years, in the case of unification, we provided the provision in the unification that the debt that was in that specific subdivision of our government would be compelled to retire the debt itself and not able to impose it on the other people that had not had an opportunity to vote on it. In reading this as a response to my own question, I'm fearful that once we get into third reading and final passage that this amendment could be a killer in the spirit that the municipality might be laden with debt and the county without any debt, the new government then would have to pick up the debt on all of the property of the unification, and those people in the rural area in that particular hypothetical case would never have had an opportunity to vote on it. So I just caution that, and that maybe we can correct that at that third reading, because it really is, I fear, a killer for a bill that I am willing to support.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I would like to move to divide the amendment. And I would like to make part one, lines 6 and 7. And then part two would be the remainder. So part one would be lines 6 and 7. Part two would consist of lines 1 through 5 and 8 through 18.
Question on part one.
That appears to be divisible. Just to remind the body what we're doing, the division one is lines 6 and 7. Division two is everything else, lines 1 through 5, lines 8 through 18. Mr. Speaker, did you want to begin with Division 1?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, ladies and gentlemen, the reason I divided this, you know, we had a little bit of a discussion yesterday as to whether or not this particular bill would still allow counties to consolidate with other counties. We've seen efforts to try to accomplish that in the western part of the state over the past several years, and I would just have a question for the good sponsor of the bill and the amendment. With regard to part one of the amendment, when you delete and insert with, it does clear up in my mind that we're talking about a merger of counties with municipalities. My comments yesterday weren't to suggest we should preclude counties from perhaps someday having the opportunity to merge with another county. So I see this language as somewhat restrictive as to county-county consolidation, and I wanted to know what the good sponsor's intent with this amendment was, and I think we need to kind of have a discussion. If we're going to do a constitutional amendment, should we be more broad so that it can be counties and counties, or counties and municipalities, or is your intent just to restrict it to counties and municipalities? So I'd like just a little bit of comment on that before we call for the question on Division 1. I guess my inclination, if Division 1 was intended to simply clarify, that's one issue. If it was intended to preclude the county-to-county unification, then I wouldn't be in favor of it.
For your first time, Representative Petroff.
I'm definitely in favor of the broadest interpretation. I think I misunderstood the argument yesterday, and I think that the more tools that we have for better governance defined in our Constitution, the more flexibility that it gives us to provide a better service to our constituents. So I am fine with a favorable or unfavorable vote on that first division.
Anyone else for their first time on Division 1 of the amendment? Anyone for their second time? Question having been called, all those in favor of Division 1 of second reading amendment number 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Division 1 passes. We are, division's been called. All those in favor of Division 1, please stand. All those opposed? Division 1 has failed. We will now move on to Division number 2 of Second Reading Amendment number 1, which is lines 1 through 5 and lines 8 through 18. Is there anyone who wishes to speak on Division 2 for their first time? Representative Petroff?
Once again, my intention was to address the concerns. I do feel that this is something that could be addressed in statutes, and that perhaps voting this amendment down and leaving a broader interpretation might be a better approach to this issue.
Mr. Speaker, for your first time.
I just wanted to make clear with regard to Division 2 or Part 2 of the divided amendment, I'm in favor of Part 2. I don't have a problem. I think it's a good idea to clarify because I think there was some concern yesterday with regard to the existing debts or any obligations that a government as an individual entity might have, whether it be a municipality or a county. And I think Part 2 is good because it makes clear that there will be a requirement that any existing debt or obligation shall become the debt or obligation of the unified government. So I'm on in favor of Part 2, and I think it's actually very necessary to the bill as a whole.
Representative Brown, for your first time.
Mr. Speaker, I did something similar to this one time when I merged two towns. And the Constitution had a provision in it that said the legislature shall, I'm paraphrasing, but it said the legislature shall provide a mechanism for merging towns, and it had never been done. And so as a young lawyer, I got busy, not knowing any better, I got busy and wrote a whole chapter of the statutes, which is law today. But I learned a lot from that. And one of the things I learned was how important it is to provide for the debt. If the creditors are unsure about what their status is going to be, if we can't make it rock solid assurance to them that their debt is going to be paid and it's going to be assumed by whatever the entity is, it creates all sorts of difficulties that may reverberate clear back to whether our cities and counties can get financing in the first place. And so I think this is a really good amendment. I think it's really necessary. And I think without it, it creates a situation where, as a practical matter, one of these could probably never be done without a lot of unnecessary lawsuits and a lot of concern and interference by creditors. And I think it just takes it all out. And so I'm in favor of Division 2 and would urge you to vote aye.
Chairman Illaway, for your first time on Division 2 of the Second Reading Amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and for the amendment, as I indicated, we have wrestled with this, how to help work with governments that want to combine. We've heard folks from the state from the north. We've done all kinds of things to try and make this happen. And this is one of the best possible solutions, and probably the only way that combination will work. It's a way to shrink government a little bit. It might work in some other counties in the state. I think it's an important step, and let me tell you, this is only a little baby step because it has to pass us tomorrow 2/3, has to go down the hall and pass them by two-thirds. Then it's got to be passed by the citizens of the state. Then it's got to come back here for us to do statutes to make things work. Then it's got to go to the vote of the people. This is a long process. I think we need to vote for approval of this division of this amendment, on and for.
Anyone else for their second time? Representative Petroff.
Mr. Speaker, at the risk of sounding like I have a multiple personality, I encourage you to vote for the amendment.
Okay, all those in favor of Part 2 of Second Reading Amendment Number 1 to House Joint Resolution 5, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Part 2 of Second Reading Amendment Number 1 to House Joint Resolution 5 has been adopted. House Joint Resolution 5 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We are at that order of business. Bills on third reading and final passage. Consent list. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 96 has an amendment. It will be off the consent list. Mr. Speaker, I move the consent list consisting of the following bills. House Bill 73, House Bill 75, House Bill 88, House Bill 95, House Bill 133, and House Bill 136.
Does anyone wish to remove any other bills from the consent list? The reading clerk will read the bills.
House Bill 73, introduced by Representative Pedersen, an act relating to insurance regarding dental services freedom bill, being enacted by legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 75, introduced by Representative Escobel, an act relating to criminal procedure victim notification amendments, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 88, introduced by Representative McComey, an act relating to guides and outfitters in the Wyoming Board of Outfitters, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 95, introduced by Representative Harvey, an act relating to hospitalization of mentally ill persons, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 133, introduced by Representative Childers, an act relating to game and fish special permit licenses, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 136, introduced by Representative Barbuto, an act relating to vacancies in office regarding county commissioners, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Escobel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Goggles
excused. Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Gagey.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Lockhart excused. Laux.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Petroff. Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Bronish,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to House Bill 73, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to House Bill 75, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to House Bill 88, are there any changes? Korberg? Aye to no. Stubson? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 56 ayes, 2 noes, 2 excused. As to House Bill 95, are there any changes? Korberg? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 1 no, 2 excused. As to House Bill 133, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to House Bill 136, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bills 73, 75, 88, 95, 133, and 136 have passed the House. We're at that order of business. Bills on third reading and final passage, regular list. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 29.
House Bill 29, introduced by Representative Gingrey, an act relating to driving under the influence, DUI, elimination of right to refuse test, being an act by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 29, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Edmonds.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Gay.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles excused. Greer.
No.
Green.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
No.
Hunt.
No.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Lockhart excused. Laux.
No.
Lubnow.
No.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller. Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen.
No.
Peterson.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Korberg.
No.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlick.
No.
Shepperson.
No.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
No.
Throne.
Aye.
Vronish.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan. Swanitzer Dave?
No.
Mr. Speaker?
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Brechtel? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 35 ayes, 23 noes, 2 excused.
House Bill 29, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 29 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 81. We're going to go with House Bill 96 that was taken off of the consent list, so I think it would, we're going to stick with 81. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 81.
House Bill 81, introduced by Representative Dave Zwanitzer, an act relating to property regarding vacant land, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 81, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake. Blickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Eklund.
No.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles excused. Greer. Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
No.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Lockhart excused. Laux.
Aye.
Lubno.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
No.
Patterson.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Korberg.
No.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Braunisch.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 52 ayes, 6 noes, 2 excused.
House Bill 81, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 81 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 96.
House Bill 96, introduced by Representative Stubson, an act relating to motor vehicles regarding them passing bicycles, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 95, and I will remove it at the appropriate time. I just wanted to have a discussion again about bikes going down the road and the concern, the discussion we had yesterday. I'm just about thinking the statute that we have now is about as good as we can get, where both the motor vehicle and the bicycle have responsibilities. And we passed this one yesterday that said the vehicle now has to be 3 feet from the bicycle. And I'm trying to determine, as you're going down the road, 3 feet, and I had one of my fellow legislators said, well, we just furnish yardsticks to all the cars, and then as they go down, you'll know how far away you are. But, you know, it's just a little bit hard to determine. And that gives the bicycle no responsibility, as I was mentioning yesterday, to try their very best to stay as far to the right as they can to alleviate the problem. I was thinking of bringing an amendment to say all bicycles have to be within 1 foot of the edge of the pavement. But I was afraid that would pass, and I don't want the bill, so I didn't want to do that. So I think we have one new regulations here, and I just think they're going to be hard to determine and hard to enforce, so I just see what anybody had to say about it.
For your first time, Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We had a spirited discussion about this the other day, so I won't go on too long, but the discussion and the representation that this bill means bicyclists have no responsibility is completely false. I mean, there is a statute in there, Title 31, just above where this one goes, that specifically says that bicyclists have to be as far to the right of the road as they can be. That's in law. That requirement is law. Where the imbalance comes in is, where is the rule protecting those bicyclists who are minding that law and that requirement that we set? Where is the law to protect them and provide at least a 3-foot space for motor vehicles passing to ensure the safety of our bicyclists on our highway? And that's what's not in. And so you have a current existing statute that is twisted and tilted to one side, putting requirements only on one party and not on the other. And that's why we need this bill, because there is that requirement for bicyclists. This is, this is a rule of the road. And if you look through Title 31 throughout, there are descriptions and statutes that govern how we divide up the highway and how different vehicles should travel on the highway, whether that be slow-moving vehicles, whether that be extra-long vehicles, wide loads, all those sorts of things, because we have a limited space. We have numerous people that are entitled to a right of that space, and we spell out how that should be shared. And that's all this bill does. It does the same thing we do in 100 different circumstances. And so what we end up with this bill is a safer roadway. And you are going to have fewer fatalities as a result of this bill. You're going to have fewer injuries because you're going to have greater knowledge by drivers of what their responsibilities are when it comes to bicyclists. So please vote for this bill.
Representative Greer, for your first time.
Mr. Speaker, I'm against this bill. I think we all know common sense tells us we don't want to hit bicyclists. We need to avoid them. There are laws in place now to make sure that that happens. We need to go down the road safely and miss a bicyclist. My concern with this bill is now we have, which the debate earlier was an arbitrary distance. Someone told me this is 6'2", distance that we have to maintain. And I don't think fatalities are going to go down. We're just going to see law enforcement have more discretion to enforce a law that is not clearly defined. So we're going to see citations go up. Bottom line is an education process to help drivers respect bicyclists is a good idea. This law is not.
Anyone else for their first time, Representative Freeman?
Mr. Speaker, I rise in support of the bill, and I think that 99.9994% of the American people and the Wyoming people do respect bicyclists, and they do not want to have the idea of being cause of fatality or serious injury to bicyclists. Not too long ago, there was a law passed by this organization to where that we had to go into another lane for police officers that pulled people over. I was taught that when I first started to drive, and I was kind of surprised that we had to have a law that said we had to protect our police officers. I think that this is part of an education to where that we send out a message to people that they have to be aware that bicyclists have special needs just as officers on the side of the road, and that we should respect that need, and that may take slowing down a little bit, timing the way that you go around the bicyclist, but that's what they should be doing in the first place. So I don't think that this clouds the issue. I think that it adds to the education of the drive in public of a special need of a vehicle that has the right to the road. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, Mr. Speaker, I did speak on this bill in committee of the whole. I do not support this bill. It's one of those pieces of legislation where I believe, you know, in the next session or the session after, you know, the law enforcement's going to be coming back to us and saying, this bill is too open-ended. It's not specific enough. We have our judicial branch is having a tough time deciding what an insufficient road width is to allow safe passing movement. We need more specificity. And then how does that all tie into the shall at all times maintain at least 3 feet separation? I just think that this piece of legislation is not going to serve us well in the long run. And I'm on and for the amendment and against the bill. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? First time? Second time? Second time before the sponsor of the amendment comes back up. Okay, Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to answer one of the questions, the statute does say the bicycles have to stay on the far right, but I think it also says that the motor vehicles have a responsibility, and that responsibility is to not hit the bicycle. So I think they're both tied in there. So you just can't say the vehicles don't have any guidance. And again, I would question whether there will be fewer fatalities. Appreciate the discussion. I'll remove the amendment at this time.
The amendment has been withdrawn. House Bill 96, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
No.
Brechtel.
No.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
No.
Edmonds.
No.
Eklund.
No.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles excused. Greer.
No.
Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt. Hunt. Illaway. Yagi.
No.
Kasparic.
No.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Lockhart excused. Laux.
No.
Lubno.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Patton.
No.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
No.
Petroff.
Aye.
Korberg. Roscoe. Simlick.
No.
Shepperson.
No.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
No.
Throne.
Aye.
Vronish.
No.
Wallace. Wallace. Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
Wallace.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? Campbell? Aye to no? Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 30 ayes, 28 noes, 2 excused.
House Bill 96, having failed to receive the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 96 has failed to pass the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 143.
House Bill 143, introduced by Representative Miller, an act relating to taxation and revenue regarding manufacturing tax exemption, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Roscoe.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number one to House Bill 143 and ask for your favorable consideration. I'd just like to give the body another chance to look at these tax exemptions, which affect our state to the tune of $10,000, $10 million a year. And then this amendment, all it does is allows us to look at it again in 2 years as opposed to 5 years. You know, when you count $10 million a year, I think it's very important. I think these tax exemptions are great to incentivize industry to move to our state, but when it's been once they're here and established, as the soda ash and trona industry have been in our state for a long time, I think they need to stand on their own. I think we need to get back to sort of free market principles. And the point that was brought up before that the Chinese are competition in this industry, it was true a year ago that the Chinese government gave them a subsidy of 9% on their trona, and they were able to make it move into the market a bit. But according to the Craig report, the trona industry has bounced back a lot faster than expected, and quite honestly, it's doing great. All I'd like to say is that we should look at these tax exemptions more often than we do. In 5 years, a lot of us won't be here. I think if we pay attention to our revenues in the state, we may not have to be asking for what's coming up in front of us shortly, a 10% gas tax. So I think we should pay attention to our revenues. Thank you.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I certainly rise in opposition to this amendment. We're shortening the period of time. There's a reason why you don't want to do that. When you get into the manufacturing enterprises, frequently they place an order for these machines, and it takes a year for them to be manufactured and come onto line. So really what we're looking at here is, let's say we place an order the first day of January of 2011. They may not even have the machinery in place or on site until into 12. Or later type situation, and they have a planning operation that goes forward. They have long-range, intermediate-type plans, and to have this come into effect and cut it off is devastating to these industries, not only in our petroleum industry that's in the refinery, but the soda ash, various other entities. It is imperative that we hold at least a 5 to 6, even longer window for this to play out and be effective for these respective companies on and against the amendment.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is an unfriendly amendment. I ask the body to resist it.
Chairman Illoway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment and for the bill. Quite frankly, we should remove the date altogether. Instead of trying to reduce it, we should just remove it. Since this bill passed 6 years ago, manufacturing in Wyoming has increased until 2008. During the recession, Wyoming's manufacturing did not decline nearly as much as in the rest of the United States. Over 30 states currently offer the exemption, and Wyoming's sales tax exemption is a key to retaining and recruiting new manufacturers. Ladies and gentlemen, this is one of those exemptions that has really helped grow the state. Wyoming is a unique state in the Union. We don't have a lot of things that we can do. Manufacturing is one of them. And they're generally smaller manufacturers. We need to help nurture and grow the state of Wyoming rather than to inhibit. Removing or pulling back to 2013 is not the way to go. As I indicated, I think we ought to take the date off altogether. But we can't do that right now, so let's vote down this amendment and vote for the bill.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in favor of the amendment, I think it is our fiduciary obligation to watch when we are allowing one sector of the economy, and in this case the manufacturing sector, a $53 million tax exemption. In the same way that we ask every state agency to come before our Appropriations Committee every 2 years so that we can really understand how they're spending our money, I think it's this body's obligation to watch for the exemptions that we give to whatever sector of the economy that we're talking about. In this case, the manufacturing sector. So I'm on and in favor of the amendment so that we take our responsibility seriously and watch the millions of dollars that are not coming into our coffers because of this exemption to assure that we want to continue that. Thank you.
For your first time, Representative Childers.
Mr. Speaker, on and against the amendment, I've been around this place long enough, and I was on the Revenue Committee when this particular issue was put in place. I would agree that we have an obligation to watch exemptions and the impact if we don't let them. In other words, we have an obligation to watch those exemptions and the dates, expiration dates. On the other hand, this particular issue, manufacturing sales tax exemption, provided us an opportunity to bring businesses to this state. And part of that reason is we have a difficulty in our tax structure as compared to other states. And this is one of the few things that we can offer to help them recognize that we're a good state to move to. Once they start looking, they're also going to realize we're even better because we basically don't have many taxes. So the manufacturing sales tax exemption is very vital for this state to bring in businesses. And as a person that has evaluated many, many, many projects, an exemption in being able to determine the payout of any project, and I can guarantee you that manufacturing is one example that It's very expensive. Typically, their profit-to-investment ratio and the payout is quite lengthy, so these sales tax exemptions play a very important part. We've already seen that the exemptions work, so I strongly urge you to extend it as proposed in the bill and not for the amendment. In fact, I would encourage you to delete the sunset eventually. Thank you.
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For this bill, against this amendment. Corner of the state where I reside, we manufacture soda ash. Some of these mines are getting fairly old. I know of one mine that's going to do a major retrofit. One mine about a year or so ago invented a new process to make a new product that will help reduce carbon emissions in power plants. And I don't want to belabor the point, but against the amendment. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I talked earlier with this body about political risk and that we shouldn't change the rules in the middle of the game because corporations or businesses who want to do business in our state look at what our rules are, and if our rules are a constantly changing target, they choose other places to allocate their scarce capital. And so if there's a better business climate in another state or another country, because we're oftentimes dealing with multinational corporations, that political risk is the factor between placing the business in this state or placing the business in another state. And this sunset being changed from 6 years from now to 2 years from now is one of those rules that can change in the middle of the game. And so I'd urge you to consider the effect of just the stability of our rules on people choosing to do business in our state as a factor for consideration, because we're competing for capital with lots of other businesses. And if we can attract that capital here and keep the rules the same for a long and defined period of time, then that's a factor that lowers that political risk and makes this state a more attractive state for a business climate.
Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For the bill against the amendment, I am a very firm believer that if you make it easy for people to build, they will. And if they build it, jobs come. We've seen it happen over and over again. I think that the best way that the state can get the advantage of this bill is that to help people build the manufacturing that they will, and then if the state wishes to realize income off of that, it's the property taxes and it's the other things from the people who have jobs, the sales tax, the other ways that we tax people in Wyoming. We still get our money back, but what we've gained in the meantime are jobs. Please vote against the amendment in favor of the bill.
Anyone else for the first time? First time, second time? Second time, Representative Roscoe.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think I'm not in any way against industrial development coming to our state. This is, I think we got a little off the subject here. We're not, this industry we're talking about, 98% of this taxes from the soda ash industry. This industry only works in Wyoming. There's a little bit. One company, one of these same companies, has something in California. Other than that, there's no Detrone anywhere in the United States that's being produced. So we're not, it's not a choice of this company going anywhere else. This is an established company that's doing quite well, and they're a great industry for the state. I just think we need to look at these, if we're going to give tax exemptions to everybody, I think we should look at it. And I don't think we're changing the horse in midstream. It was always our plan to look at these tax exemptions every so often, and so we're not. There's no uncertainty on the industry side of things. Just as an example, 2 years ago, I guess we the
helium was leaving our state. We produced the best helium in the world and is leaving without being taxed at all. So it was a finite mineral that we were not we were giving away, basically. And we were told that it was going to leave jobs, people were going to go elsewhere. And what's happened, if you look at the, check some financial journals, the helium is going wild, and the state of my projections of what the state was going to make from helium is quadrupled. So I just think as a state, we have an obligation to keep our revenues coming so we can provide. We are entrusted to balance the budget, and I think we need to do that. So if we don't watch out for our revenues, we could get in trouble. Thank you.
All those in favor of third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 143, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 143 has failed. House Bill 143 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel. Brown, Burkhart,
aye.
Bird,
aye.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Childers,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles excused, Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
Kasparic, aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Lockhart excused, Laux,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
no.
Simlick, Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Braunish,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 aye, 1 no, 2 excused.
House Bill 143, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 143 has passed the House. We're at that order of business reconsideration. Briefly, before I call on the good representative, I'll explain to the body just a little bit of the process we'll do. You know, you might see 1, 2, 3 of these a session. Just depends. It's Rule 2412A. And I'm just going to kind of paraphrase that. Any member that voted on the prevailing side of a given issue can give notice that they're going to move for a reconsideration on the next legislative business day. And basically, once they make that motion, it cannot be debated or amended. And once we dispose of it, it cannot be renewed. The motion would be adopted or rejected by a simple majority vote, regardless of the vote required to pass the original question. If you adopt the motion, the original question is exactly the same as it was when the vote being reconsidered was originally ordered, which means there's no discussion, debate, or amendment allowed on the question. And then once, if you adopt the move for reconsideration, we will put it to put the original question to a vote immediately thereafter. So, Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pursuant to Rule 2412, and having voted on the prevailing side and having given notice of my intention yesterday, I move to reconsider House Bill 31, Paramutual Regulation.
The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey. 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 Bonner,
aye.
Botten,
aye.
Brechtel,
no.
Brown,
no.
Burkhart,
no.
Bird,
aye.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Childers,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
no.
Edmonds,
no.
Eklund,
no.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman.
No.
Gay.
No.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles excused. Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
No.
Hunt.
Aye.
Illaway.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Lockhart excused. Laux.
Aye.
Lubno.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Patton.
No.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Korberg.
No.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlich.
No.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
No.
Throne.
Aye.
Braunisch.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? Brown? No to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 36 ayes, 22 noes, 2 excused.
Motion for reconsideration has been adopted. Now you'll be voting on passage of House Bill 31. So House Bill 31, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickery.
No.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
No.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
No.
Edmonds.
No.
Eklund.
No.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Freeman.
No.
Gay.
No.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles excused. Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
No.
Hunt.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
No.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Lockhart excused. Laux.
Aye.
Lubno.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller. Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Patton.
No.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Korberg.
No.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlich.
No.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
No.
Throne.
Aye.
Braunisch.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 36 aye, 22 no, 2 excused.
House Bill 31, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 31 has passed the House. We are at that order of business, consideration of bills on general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If the House votes to go into committee of the whole, if we would move House Bill number 2 or House Bill number 23 down to out after House Bill number 52, that would be good. I move that the House resolve itself into committee of the whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The House is resolved into committee of the whole. Representative Crone.
The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. Before we begin, I'd like to take privilege of the floor and recognize a couple of folks that came down from Cody. Lisa Velker, who's our Director of Crisis Intervention Services in Cody, and her daughter, Chelsea. So please join me in welcoming them to the House. The first bill for our consideration today is House Bill number 63. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 63, introduced by Representative Madden, an act relating to subdivisions regarding water study. This yes. bill was referred to Committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, which recommended it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Blickery, Byrd, Illaway, Yeagy, Croker, Patton, Roscoe, Shepperson, Stubson, signed Representative Illaway, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with recommendation that House Bill 63 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee amendments. And the representative from House District 40 will explain the bill and the Standing Committee amendment.
Thank you, Chairman Elway. Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What we have here, ladies and gentlemen, is House Bill 63. And the first thing I should make sure you understand is that it doesn't change the law any. All it does is clarify the language in the law. And there's therefore no impact on anybody except in interpretation what we intended all along. Now, the Standing Committee amendment, I think I'll just get that out of the way because you can kind of fill it in as you go here. The committee rightly thought that the use of resolution was inappropriate. So on line 2, page 3, we cross out resolution and restore mitigation. And the logic behind that is that mitigation is a well-understood concept in water issues, and it should just stay that way, and that's a good change. The other change is also a good one. If you go down to line 5 on page 3, we took out the word, they took out the word subsequently, and then put a period after exist, or no, excuse me, they cross out by a more, the last three words in line 5, and then thorough engineering analysis, and then you pick up again with to the satisfaction of the board. And in this case, the board refers to the Planning Commission, County Planning Commission. Okay. Now, what this law deals with is a section of the subdivision regulations that deals with. And the subsection of it deals with water supply issues, okay? And they divide the statute up into two different classes in this particular area. And it talks about individual on-lot wells. So there's a subdivision where every lot's got its own well. That's the first part you see here. And then when you get down to the bottom of page 3, it says, on line 9 on page 3, we have individual on let's see. The first one deals with a water supply system, except individual on-lot wells. And the second part, C, on page 3, is where we're dealing just with on-lot wells. So B is for collective on-lot or collective water systems for a subdivision where if you drill maybe one well and serve all the lots on it with one well. And the thing is, the point I'm making is that the language is parallel in both sections. So you'll see down here at line 21 on page 3, mitigation is restored again and resolution is stricken. And then you go down to, page 4, you'll see that subsequently showing up again just like it did before. So you cross out subsequently, and then you also cross out by a more on that page, and thorough engineering analysis is crossed out on line 2 on page 4. And that's a good amendment also because the committee members rightly mentioned, that it doesn't, it almost looks, if we left it the way it was, that it requires a subsequent study. And it's a possibility, but it's not part of the subdivision laws. Now, the clarity that we're adding is simply actually parts that they didn't amend. If you look down on page 2, line 14, it clarifies, and you'll see the parallel one over on page 3, of study results. And it's just saying that it kind of strengthens neighbors' rights here a little bit because we're not just talking about a report now. We're talking about a report that actually is based on a study. And there's a subtle distinction there. A report, you can just say, well, we don't think it's going to have an effect on water rights, but a report of study results more or less verifies it. And the other part that's important to see is that on line 19, and the parallel one will be this is line 19 of page 2, and then you got line 16 on page 3, you change the word may out and put in will, and then identified by the study. So you're referring to that study that I just referred to before. Okay, and the reason why this is important, at least in some instances, is that the lead-in of Roman numeral 3 on line 18, if the confusion was that we had a may in there, and then you go to line 4, you go to Roman numeral 4 on line 1 on page 3, they start talking about the mitigation of water right conflicts. So the issue is you really can't mitigate something that is a hypothetical. So it now reads that we're looking at groundwater rights or surface or ground and groundwater rights, which will be affected. And then number 4 goes into the issue of mitigation. If you do not identify any conflicts, there's no mitigation, obviously. And if you do identify water right conflicts, then there would be mitigation. So that's all there is to it. There's really nothing. I guess the last thing I can say is that the result of this change in language is consistent with what you see in the Department of Environmental Quality, Water Quality Rules and Regulations on Section 8, where they're talking about standards for water supply systems, and they go through all the different standards. And the one that's important for our purposes was number 5, because they write in Romanet 5, and I quote, plans for the mitigation of water right conflicts resulting from the use of water within the proposed subdivision. It takes away the supposition that possible rights. So that's the bill, and I don't know if any questions, I'd be glad to answer them if I could. Otherwise, seeing nobody, I would move the question.
We'll deal with the amendment first. That's okay. Is there any further discussion on the amendment? Question has been called. All those in favor of the Standing Committee Amendment, please signify by aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay or no. Motion carries. The Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Any further discussion on the bill? Seeing none, the question has been called. All those in favor of Representative or Chairman Illaway's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 63 do pass, please say aye. All those opposed, no. House Bill 63 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The Committee of the Whole will now address House Bill Number 5. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill Number 5, introduced by the Capital Financing Appropriations, an act relating to the University of Wyoming University Revenue Bond Supplemental Coverage. This bill was referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Esquivel, Pedersen, Stewart, Wallace, excused, Edmonds, Harshman, signed, representing Berger, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Berger.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with a do pass recommendation on House Bill 5, and I defer for explanation to the good representative from House District 7.
Thank you. Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In Denmark, we say Pedersen. It's those Swedes that say Peterson, but thank you. We will, brothers and sisters of the 61st, I bring you House Bill 5. I'm going to talk about this bill from 32,000 feet and then work our way into the actual lettering in the bill and then how this works. Fundamentally, the way this bill works is the University over the Hill currently issues bonds out, and they do it for such things as dormitories and things like this. And there's a rating system out there, two national places, one that has a standard that isn't poor and one that if you received a poor rating, you might get somewhat moody. We have a AA rating from the first and a AA2 rating from the second, respectively. What does that mean? What the goal of this bill is to do is so that the state of Wyoming becomes the reinsurer, the guarantor of bonds issued by the University of Wyoming. And what will happen, and where have we seen this before? Well, cities, towns, and counties currently do this through the PMTF. School district bonds are currently reinsured through the school facilities account. And so this isn't a loan. And what will it do for us as a body here? Well, you could take by the state being the guarantor of this, or the reinsurer, we would then get a AAA rating from one of these two four mentioned, or at least alluded to, places, and then that may give us a AAA rating. A AAA rating is good for us because as your rating increases, the amount of interest that you have to pay decreases because you are then perceived as a less risky investment. Our government issues treasury notes, as well as many of them out there. Ours pays an exceptionally low interest rate because there's not a lot of risk involved. There is a republic in South Asia that good representative from House District 12 has the opportunity to visit, and you can ask her about it. They have about a 12% yield on their treasury note because your chances of getting your money back decreases. And so that's where the risk comes in. What does it mean to us? A AAA rating could knock 10 to 20 basis points off the interest that we pay out. So on a $30 million bond, that comes out to save us on 10 basis points about $300,000 over the life of it. Or on 20 basis points on the same thing, you'd say about $580,000, a little under $600,000 in interest payments that we're paying out. The university pays out these interest payments. We fund the university through various mechanisms, federal mineral royalties, a series of other block grants, things along these lines. We pay this out, is what this fundamentally says. So what we're doing by doing this is decreasing our total costs as they go out. A couple of questions that come up here is, if the university were to ever default on this, it would come to this body. And we would be faced with this same situation, except for now what we're doing is putting it in statute. And there's some very unique things that are put in here. And I also want to go over Before I do that, I want to go over, because I think that the body has a fiduciary responsibility to conduct our due diligence on who we're about ready to underwrite or who we're going to reinsure, and that's the university over the hill. What's a coverage ratio? A coverage ratio is how we figure out how we're going to be able to pay our debt. The current debt service for the university that it issues is about $5.3 million per year that it pays out for debt service. Coverage ratio is your ability to cover that. Our current coverage ratio, and coverage ratio is earnings before interest and taxes above the interest expense. The university's coverage ratio is 3.86. What does this mean? The other peers in the group are about 2.4, and where you run into trouble is 1.5. At 1.5 is where you're in trouble. So we have four times the revenue dedicated for the repayment of bonds at the university than what's required to cover their current debt service. And so it shows you that they have good financial sound practices over the hill. A couple of things I want to go over in the bill about, and this is where I'm going to get into the body of the bill and talk to you about some of the reassurances that we have as a state about getting our money back and how this process is set up. When you go into the bill, beginning there on page one, the supplemental coverage program that begins on page one and then goes into page two is where we start to essentially set up the account and set up the process. In section B there on line 10 and 2, it talks about if the university seeks the supplemental coverage for its revenue bonds, it refers to then the SLIB board, shall review the application and determine whether to approve the application. So they're not just going to put out these bond issues without the other roles in the state having a hand in looking at it. And they're going to determine based upon Romanet 1 whether the supplemental coverage under this section would likely result in reduced costs. And then Romanet 2 is other relevant factors that may apply to issuing this bond. In Section C, I think it's important there in the beginning, it says the board may determine to provide supplemental coverage for revenue bonds under this section and may impose terms, conditions, and limits on the supplemental coverage as it finds in its discretion are necessary to protect the state funds and ensure the viability of the program. And that's all, and that goes through there, and then the rest of that is language that's similar to what we've done in situations like this before. And then under D in Romanet I, this is where it sets up essentially the pass-through account, because what ends up happening is there's an account at the state treasurer's office that the university pays its interest in, that pays into the interest, and then the treasurer pays it out. You have to have that pass-through in order for the state to say that's where the money is coming from and goes, and this essentially establishes that account. And then in Romanet 2, it says the university shall deposit them in a timely manner. Romanet 3, if the university fails to comply with this paragraph of the subsection, here's where our protection comes in, the state, A, shall make full payment. And then B, to the extent that the university has not deposited sufficient funds within this, it is deemed to be a loan to the university. And then when you get down there to Section I, the loan shall bear an interest rate, because if we're going to pay this out, and we're paying this interest on these bonds, then in addition to what the university would pay us in that amount, they also owe us the interest on a rate equal to the coverage that would be earned on the pooled investments in the state funds in the four calendar quarters preceding that quarter. If the university does have this loan there in Section 2 on the top of page 5, the university shall pay for this out of their general fund. That's non-block grant money. So we're not going to appropriate the block grant for that to have them repay us this possible loan out of. And then the university also there in Section 3 may make additional loan payments, and that's just like you hurrying up and paying down your mortgage ahead of time. There's nothing prohibiting them from paying ahead on this. And then also, here's a big catch-all is in C, is if this goes awry again, the State Loan Investment Board may require the university to modify its fiscal practices and its general obligations until the board determines that a substantial likelihood of the university will be able to make future payments under this section. And then on the final page 6, it goes to distribution of these funds, and what we are limiting our total, what our limited exposure is the above the cap, that's the $200 million of the federal mineral royalties. We're limiting ourselves to $18 million above the cap. And right now, like I said, the debt service ratio is currently they're currently servicing a $5.3 million debt per year, so $18 million is far and above it. But what the purpose of this is, and what we've done in other portions of our statute, is to be the reinsurer guarantor of these payments, similar we do with cities, towns, and counties, school district bonds, and I compare it to perhaps a parent signing a loan on with their kids. And so what it does is it gives us a little bit of a stake in the game, but also I would remind you the goal is to reduce our total overall cost that we're paying out on the interest of these. And with that, I stand for questions.
Thank you, Representative Patterson. Any questions? Question having been called. Oh, Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I really am on and for the measure. However, there's one question that comes to my mind. On page 4, you provide for the agent, the university's paying agent, in a timely manner, and should that fail, then the state shall make the full payment from the federal mineral royalty fund. And I understand what you're doing and how you're making the guarantee. But when you go down to on page 4 on line 21, the loan shall bear the interest at a rate equal to the average interest rate of the pooled investments in the 4 calendar quarters preceding the quarter in which the loan occurred. It would occur to me that perhaps that it should be the 4 preceding current quarters as opposed to when the loan occurred. In other words, the default, the operation of this could occur several years after the loan had been made. Interest rates could have changed, and it would be to the advantage of the university to get a lower interest rate than what was what would be the common the interest rate at the time. Just an explanation on that, if you would.
Representative Patterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm happy to go over this language with a good representative. As I read that, though, what happens is if you look at section then, so what I want to look at is section B on line 14. To the extent the university has not deposited sufficient funds to comply with paragraph 2 of the subsection, the state is deemed to be have loaned the university. And so in subsection I of section B, I believe that it's referencing the loan as this is the loan as of the default time. And I'm happy to check with staff to ensure that that is correct. But it's so when that default takes place is when that loan is, and that's on those 4 quarters. So if the original bonding issue was set out in, let's say, 4 years ago and interest rates have changed, it would be based on the 4 quarters from the point of default and when that becomes the loan, as opposed to the 4 years earlier when the original bonding issue was done. And I'd be happy to confirm that with staff before we go on. And perhaps if we're incorrect, I'd be happy to look at a second reading amendment.
Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I have a question for the good bringer or floor manager of this bill, I guess. Who generally buys the revenue? Do we have any sense of who generally buys these revenue bonds from the University of Wyoming, Mr. Chairman?
Representative Patterson.
Madam Chair, that's it's really all over. You get you end up with a lot of Wyoming people who end up purchasing a lot of these, but sometimes they're purchased in larger blocks by money managers in different pieces, and it's a spectrum. And I can get you a look at the last loan that was done on the recent dorm, which would be, because most of these are done for dorm issues, and so we just issued one, and I'm going to get you the date on that. I'm sorry about that. last year, 2010, on one of the dorms, and also for the visual arts building. And so what we can do is look at the subscription to that issue, and that would give you a good comparator, and I'd be happy to see if they can provide that information.
Chairman Corbett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a follow-up. I just want to make sure that I understand the nature of this bill. So does this bill, in effect, reduce the return that an individual would receive if they did buy the bond? Is that what this is all about? They wouldn't earn as much interest on their investment. Is that what this bill is about, Mr. Chairman?
Representative Patterson.
Mr. Chairman, the answer is future issues. Anything you issued going forward, we would be able to issue at possibly a lower. But it wouldn't affect if you currently held a bond with the university, because that's a contract that's been done. You bought that bond. That interest rate is what you purchased, and that interest rate would be honored. This would be new issues of it, but most of the people are not only buying for return, but they're buying one of these for surety. And if they're already buying a AA-rated state bond, they're going to be more interested in a AAA-rated, and because they're trying to get a certain amount of more guaranteed investments to cover their portfolio's volatility. And so it wouldn't be on new issues, or it wouldn't be on existing, it'd just be on new issues that would probably most likely be 10 to 20 basis points, tenth of a percent lower than what we've previously been issuing them on, because we would be deemed a safer institution.
Chairman Corbett.
Thank you for your indulgence, Mr. Chairman. So was there any discussion then in the committee that perhaps this might detour or might affect Wyoming people from buying these bonds, and that it would just because of the new original issues, because of the reduced interest or return that they would be receiving, that this might not be they might not look at it as good an investment as they have in the past, and the bonds might be more difficult to sell, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Patterson.
Mr. Chairman, I think the opposite is true. I think that when people are buying most municipal or state-issued or university or school district-issued bonds, people are actually looking for safety. And so by doing a AAA rating, most people sacrifice a tenth of a percent for a AAA rating. It just may be that the highest that our university currently issues is a AA rating, and they want to support the university, they want safety. But I think that the AAA rating is a sacrifice for the tenth of a percent issue.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sort of as a supplement to the good representative from House District 7's comments, and also in response to the chairman of transportation, we also heard both in appropriation in committee number 2 and select capital finance that the university anticipates that if they can save money on interest payments, which is the point of this, that would allow the university to save money on the interest it pays to service the debt for its dorms, that its intent is to apply that savings to student fees, so that perhaps there would be a reduction, or at least not as much of an increase in student fees to cover the costs of dorms. And I think that's an important point for the body to understand.
Representative Davison, would you like to be recognized now?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. May I have privilege of the floor?
Yes, you may.
I'd like to recognize our administrator from the Turning Point, which is the Women's Violence Coalition Center in Kemmer, Wyoming, Chris Turner.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Berger's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that House Bill number 5 do pass, please say aye. Opposed, no. House Bill 5 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Committee of the Whole beg leave to rise and sit again at 2 p.m.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Any announcements? Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet tomorrow upon noon recess. That's Thursday, January 27th in room H18. We'll continue working the Wyoming Lottery Bill, House Bill 186, and then we'll get into House Bill 188, Gambling Definitions 2, House Bill 178, Vaults, Crypts, and Mausoleums, Perpetual Trust Funds. And then if there's time, we'll talk about House Bill 179, Energy Improvement Program, and House Bill 209, Emergency Medical Review Organizations.
Chairman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Judiciary Committee number 1 will meet today on adjournment to continue working the following bills. House Bill 167, Castle Doctor Modifications. House Bill 141, Governmental Immunity Waiver for Hospital Employees. House Bill 160, Management Audit Committee Subpoena Power. House Bill 170, Conservation Easements Notification. And House Joint Resolution 4, Repeal of 17th Amendment. And, Mr. Chairman, your committee, Judiciary number 1, will meet tomorrow morning, Thursday, at 6:59 a.m. to consider the following bills. House Bill 92, Impersonation Through Electronic Means. House Bill 107, Municipal Court Jury Trials. House Bill 123, Circuit Courts Surety Bonds Repeal. House Bill 134, Statute of Limitations for Criminal Offenses. House Bill 140, Governmental Immunity, Public Transportation. And House Joint Resolution 3, Resolution to Congress and the United States Supreme Court.
Thank you, Chairman Brown. Chairman Korberg.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Committee number 8, Transportation and Military Affairs, will meet tomorrow, Thursday, January 27th, 10 minutes after adjournment in room H17. We will consider the following bills: House Bill 139, Wyoming Veterans Memorial Highway; House Bill 177, Vietnam and Veterans Welcome Home and Thank You Day.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The majority party will be caucusing in about 5 minutes back down in B63, which is our old room, not the room we were at last week, the old room. And please bring your goldenrod with you.
Thank you. Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Committee number 10, Labor, will meet today, 15 minutes upon adjournment, to consider the following bills: House Bill 103, WICHE Repayment Program; House Bill 99, Substance Abuse Treatment Funding Awards; House Bill 36, Cancer Control Act Amendments; and House Bill 162, OSHA Rule Review.
Representative Barbuto.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The minority party will caucus today at Poor Richard Restaurant. Please bring your goldenrod, and everybody's invited to attend.
Any further announcements? Seeing none, the Committee of the Whole will be in recess until 2 p.m.